Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. We're going to talk a little bit about Emmanuel this morning. Actually, we're going to talk a whole lot about Emmanuel this morning. He came and he lived 33 years. And because he lived for 33 years, we are rescued. Because he lived, he died, and he rose from the dead. We are truly rescued. We have hope eternal. And this morning, as we continue working our way through the first couple chapters of Matthew and continue our series on Promise Delivered, we come to this passage where Joseph has to do something that perhaps gets overlooked an awful lot. He gets to name Jesus Christ. Names mean things in the Bible. Names, frankly, mean things to all of us. Oftentimes, I find myself wanting to call Adam Matthew, Matthew, even though Adam's name is Adam and his last name is Matthew. It drives me nuts. I call his wife Elizabeth all the time. That even is more embarrassing. But names mean something. When I was a sophomore in high school, my mother was not a sophomore in high school, right before I was a sophomore, so it would make me a freshman. Yeah. When I was a freshman in high school, my sister, who's 2.5 years younger than me, found out that my mom was pregnant. My sister and I sort of looked at each other and said, wonder how that happened, you know, because it's like, that doesn't make any sense. There's this huge age gap. She's pregnant. We were excited for those 9 months, and things were changing, and everything was looking good, and then something happened. We, to this day, don't know what happened. But my mother lost the baby. She was going to go in on that Monday to be induced for labor, and if she had not had the baby over the weekend, and over the course of that weekend, something happened. She went on a Monday, and the doctor looked at her and said, I don't know what to tell you, but there's no heartbeat. We were devastated as a family, absolutely devastated. And that began an adventure for me that I did not anticipate. I had no relationship with God. I had no grounding in who he was. We went to church every now and then, but I didn't know who God was. But what I heard in church was that we had this God who loved us and cared about us. And when I received that news that the baby was no more, I told God I wanted nothing to do with him. I was angry. Oh, I was angry. That anger seeped into all types of places in my life, and I'm not going to get into the details. That's another story. But something began to happen within me. For some strange reason, God took that tragic experience and began stirring within me this acknowledgement that I was powerless. And even though I was angry at him and wanted nothing to do with him, we have a God who isn't afraid to get involved in people's anger, isn't afraid to get involved in people's lives. So over the course of the next few months, my life changed because somebody came up to me and invited me to attend their student ministry. And over the course of those next few months of being involved in that student ministry, I came to know Jesus Christ and placed my trust in him. 6 months prior to that, I would have never thought that was possible. The reason why I'm telling you this story is because the name of that younger sister was Stephanie Nicole Bosick. When Dawn and I found out that we were pregnant with our first child, Dawn shared the news with me, and I did not ask, how did that happen? But there was great joy. There was great enthusiasm. But within me, there was a great deal of anxiety because of what had happened to me when I was in high school. And then we found out that we were going to have a girl. And we both looked at each other and we instantly knew the name of that daughter. And that it was going to be Stephanie Nicole Bosick, named in honor and remembrance of what I went through. And the reason for that name is because, and Stephanie knows this, The reason for that name is that her responsibility is to carry on this legacy of pointing people to Jesus Christ. Like this tragic event that happened to me when I was in high school turned me in this way, in a very odd way, towards Jesus Christ, our oldest daughter. Her responsibility, and she understands this, her responsibility is to turn people to Jesus Christ. And I rejoice. I rejoice in that because our oldest daughter, Stephanie, we love both our daughters. And they have both taught us so much. And I'll tell you this, parenting, there's no book out there. All these books that people write about parenting, they don't know what they're talking about. It's an adventure unlike any other. But I will tell you this, that I get to stand before you this morning grateful for the lessons that God has taught me through both my daughters, through the adventure of being the dad to Stephanie Nicole Bosick and Heidi Elizabeth Bosick. It has been unlike any journey I could have ever imagined. And it all started because of a name, Stephanie Nicole Bosick, for me. I invite you to look at Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Matthew writes this. He says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,'" which means God with us. "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus." Father, we pray as we look at this passage, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, open our minds that we may understand, and open our hearts that we would be transformed to live out a life that represents Jesus Christ in all we do and say. Holy Spirit, may no one hear anything that I say, but may they only hear what it is that you want them to hear. And may all this be done for your glory, the one to whom we are grateful for what you've done in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So last week we looked at the genealogy and I went through all those names. I'm not going to read them anytime soon again. But there's a lot of names there, and the reason why we go through that genealogy is Matthew is saying this is where it all begins. Jesus or God has been involved for centuries, for generations, preparing for this very event, this new beginning of Jesus Christ coming on this planet. And so people at the end of that genealogy perhaps were thinking, well, wait a second. If Jesus doesn't have an earthly father, how then does he get into being considered the son of David? Matthew, because he's a great writer, knows that that question could be out there. And so Matthew begins to explain the story behind the story. Begins to explain how this all comes to pass because the Jewish people did not want some false Messiah. They had had plenty of those and they were done with it. They wanted to know, should we put everything that you're telling us, should we put everything in with Jesus Christ, or is he simply some poser, some imposter that we cannot trust? You've got to explain how he gets into being considered a son of David, because you've just told us that Joseph is not his dad. And so Matthew says this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. The question everyone is asking is, how does Jesus get connected to being the son of David? And we find this out that Mary and Joseph are pledged to be married. They hadn't become officially married yet. The marriage had not been consummated. But Rob pointed this out a couple weeks ago when he was preaching about this. This is like a year-long experience. And during that year-long experience, you are declared married, meaning that neither one of you can have any type of relations with anybody else. And so that's what's going on here. Mary and Joseph, for lack of a better word, are engaged. That's what we would compare it to. And then we see this curveball in the middle, the latter part of verse 18. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Every time I come to this passage, this phrase comes to mind from Mary's perspective. Joseph, you might need to sit down for this. See, there's this drama going on behind the scenes. Mary and Joseph are pledged to be married. There is no getting around that. They've committed to one another, and now everything's moving forward, and Mary tells Joseph, I'm pregnant. Now, we don't have the details of that encounter, but I guarantee you this. It was not an easy conversation. Because Joseph's immediate response, more likely than not, is, what? You're pregnant? I'm not the father of this baby. Because I'm faithful to the law and I understand what needs to happen. I understand that I do not consummate this marriage until we have this big ceremony. Something's going on, Mary. And this isn't good. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, I invite you to turn your Bibles back to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Joseph knew the law. Joseph knew what his options were. And we're going to pick it up in verse 20. If, however, the charge is true and no proof of the young woman's virginity can be found, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. She has done an outrageous thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge the evil from among you. If a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. Joseph knew the law. Mary knew the law. Mary, when she makes this statement that I am with child, she knew what was going on. The drama, the tension at that moment had to have been so thick and so heavy. Joseph knows right now that he has all types of options. Well, actually, that's not true. Joseph knows he has a few options. One of them is to take Mary and have her stoned to death, and he would be justified. The other option is to divorce her quietly. Now, we look at this situation and we don't know what's going on, and now I'm going to add another element to it. Keep in mind, at this particular time, Mary is probably 13 years old. What do you do? Joseph now enters into a battle of the known versus the unknown. The known is, I'm going to follow after the law. I'm going to divorce her gently, quietly, and I'm moving on. The unknown is, what do I do if I stay with her? He has no idea what's going to happen. And I ask you this morning, what is the unknown that is before you today? You have everything plotted out. Some of you have been plotting out all these different events in your life, and everything continues to go very smoothly. You know where you're going, but yet, and you're so committed to that known that you've forgotten that perhaps God wants you to take an unknown route. An unknown route that's going to push you out of your comfort zone. An unknown route that's going to say, I have a bigger idea for you than just what you know. See, that's what's going on with Joseph here. He knows what he can do, and he's going to do it. And we look at verse 20, it says this, and here's the word that always catches us off guard when we read in God's word, and it's that three-letter word called but. You know something's happening when a but shows up. Okay? And it's you can laugh, it's fine. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph knows where he's going. Joseph understands that he can do this, but we have a Lord who is the Lord of interruptions. And that's what happens here. Joseph's life gets interrupted. Joseph's life he's on this path, and now God says, I got other things going on. Joseph had everything figured out, or so he thought. Perhaps you're here this morning thinking you have everything figured out, but yet God's saying, I got some other ideas for you. I've got some ideas that are going to completely change your life. I want you to take some steps in an unknown, unfamiliar territory, and I'm going to be with you the whole way. So that's what Joseph's got now. Joseph falls asleep, he has a dream, and in the midst of that dream, an angel shows up. And it's real easy to just read over this and say, yeah, that's no big deal. Angels showing up is a very big deal. It doesn't happen that often. It just doesn't. And in God's word, angels show up infrequently. So infrequently that when they show up, you know this, it's a big deal. Now let this sink in for just a few moments. Joseph didn't have simply one encounter with an angel or two encounters with an angel. He had three encounters with an angel. This is a big deal. Angels showing up. Angels showing up. And this angel shows up and says to him, do not be afraid. The unknown always causes us to be afraid. Some of us in here this morning are being called to go down an unknown path. And right now, fear is raging. Anxiety is increasing. Because God's saying, go this direction. And I know you don't know exactly where that direction is, but I'm telling you, you need to go in that direction. And that fear is there. Unknown always causes us to have fears. And so Joseph gets hit with this. And the angel's first words are, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel tells him, you're going to be okay. Step into the unknown. Step into that unknown, because I know your fears, and I know this, that I will walk you through this time. So I ask you right now, what specific fear do you have about taking the unknown path that perhaps God is calling you to take? And then verse 22, and it's so good for Matthew. Matthew does this in such a great way. It says, as all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Again, Matthew, and we talked about this last week, Matthew is going to give you these flashbacks, and in the process of him doing that, he wants us to realize it wasn't Matthew's idea, it wasn't Joseph and Mary's idea to go this route, it was God's idea. In essence, what Matthew is saying from God's perspective is, it was my idea to do it this way. Nobody could come up with a more creative, ingenious way of doing this than me. And so Matthew connects some dots here. He connects these dots and he has the people go back to a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And it's listed here in verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Matthew says, I've given you the genealogy and showing you how God has worked through generations. And I've told you that all that stuff is to fulfill prophecy. And we're now to this place where I'm now going to give you some details of this story. And now you get to know that Jesus Christ fulfills prophecy. In Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2, there are five different prophecies that Matthew alludes to. He's putting the dots together. He's connecting everything. And this flashback that he gives us here from Isaiah chapter 7 is a reminder that God always delivers on his promise. It had been 400 years since they had heard from God, and now Matthew is saying the time is now. And he made these promises long time ago, and now it's coming to fruition. And Matthew, it's very interesting, I think, that he picks this particular verse. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. You get a two-for-one special with Jesus. He's not only the one who's going to save you from your sins, he is also God with us. Matthew adds in another title for Jesus Christ. He's already given us the title Jesus Christ and Christ being Messiah. And now he's saying Jesus Christ Emmanuel, God with us. His writing is fantastic. His writing is creative. And he keeps on building on this whole idea that this is God's idea, that he's come to rescue humanity. Then we come to verse 24, and I love this. When Joseph woke up, how could you not wake up from that? His heart must have been racing. Because now he has to take steps into the unknown. And keep this in mind, Joseph still had the freedom to say, I'm not going that route. But Joseph steps in to that route. Because of this, he knows that it is a name worth proclaiming. When he gets to make this move of calling God, Jesus Christ. God is faithful through and through. Joseph had been faithful to the law. Just look back in verse 19. He says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. He was faithful to the law, and he knew this, that God was faithful not only to the law, but to his promises, and he wasn't going to let him down. And Joseph chooses the unknown, because the unknown is traveled with the one who made himself known. Whatever fear you're experiencing, whatever anxiety you're experiencing as you go down that unknown path, know this, you're not going down that path alone. You're going down that path with the one who has made himself known, Jesus Christ. He's the one saying, keep taking those steps, keep leaning on me, keep leaning into me, keep knowing that I am right there with you. And then we come to verse 25. But Joseph did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And the last sentence, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph got to name God. I enjoyed naming our daughter Stephanie Nicole Bosick. I can't imagine the amount of joy that Joseph had by naming God Jesus. Looking down at that baby, and we look at this baby, he looks at this baby, and he names him Jesus. And why is that significant? It's because at the naming of Jesus, the adoption is complete. Jesus now gets put into the line of David. Because Joseph named God. That adoption is now complete. And God wants to name you. He wants to name you as one of His own. He wants to name you and enter into your life and remind you that He is the one that is faithful all the time. Joseph could not do this without God at work in the midst of it. But that name means everything. The naming of a child means that that is my son. That is my daughter. In late September, this church sent me on a mission trip to Nairobi. Many of you contributed to that. Rob was disappointed that you provided enough money for a round-trip ticket. But you sent me there, and I've not been able to talk to you very often about, or I haven't really said a whole lot about that trip because I'm still processing through it, but I've given you a couple stories along the way. And let me share another story that ties into what we're talking about this morning. In the slum of Harama, where I was, it's a slum of 500,000 people in Nairobi. They struggle to exist. They struggle to live from day to day. Unemployment there is at 50%. People will walk upwards of an hour, spend an hour of their day just walking to find work. It is harsh. It is a tough, tough place to be. The irony of this particular slum being called Harama is this, is that Harama means mercy. And as I walked among those streets and as I interacted with the people and I saw the way that they lived, I thought, God, have mercy on them. And God have mercy on me. It was a powerful experience there. It's a tough place to be. Seeing families of five living in a 10-foot by 10-foot shack. Praying that when it rains that they don't get flooded out of their place of living. And bringing a baby into this type of an environment was highly risky. It's highly risky because of the health concerns, but also because of the difficulties that happen financially. And so what happens in this particular slum, and it's not just in Harama, but it's in other slums as well, you have what is called flying babies. Young women give birth to a child, knowing that they cannot afford to take care of this baby. And so upon the child being born, they put the baby into a garbage bag and throw it into the dump. It is harsh. It is difficult. And we shake our heads. We're saying, how can this be? How can this be? And you're seeing the dump right there. And this picture doesn't do the dump justice. It was vast. It was broad. It was just this huge, hill after hill of all this trash and all these things. And the picture obviously also doesn't capture the stench that was in the air. And so you have flying babies. And a number of years ago, the founder of the school, Faraha, where I got to interact with the teachers and the students there. One of the founders of the school, Carrie, was standing in the dump, looking at everything that was going on and observing what was going on. And they had this school going for a few years, but it was really struggling. They were trying to make an impact in this slum. They were trying to help the people get an education, help these children to get an education so they could then make an impact in that slum. And he was discouraged, he was frustrated. And as he was standing there in the dump that day, he's seeing people throwing their trash away. He's seeing a few dogs running here and there. He's seeing people do laundry in this, and that's called a river, seeing people do this laundry in that particular river. And Carrie was crying out to God saying, we just want to make a difference. We just want to make a difference, God. How can we make a difference? And out of the corner of his eye, he saw a dog. Didn't think much about it. He saw the dog. The dog was along the banks of that river. And he didn't think much about it, and so he continued praying and saying and asking God, we want to make an impact. Would you please help us? And all of a sudden, this dog walks over to Carrie. And Carrie couldn't tell what was going on at this particular time, but as the dog drew closer, this dog had a bag in its mouth. Carrie didn't think much about it. And the dog stops right before Carrie and looks up at Carrie. And Carrie sees the bag. And he thinks the dog just found some trash. And so Carrie reaches down, grabs the bag. And as he grabs the bag, he notices that something is moving in that bag. Carrie opens the bag, and in that bag is a baby that was still alive. Moments prior, Carrie's praying, God, I want to make a difference in this world. God, we want to make an impact in this world. We want to make an impact in this slum. Would you help us? We don't know what to do. We're asking you. I'm crying out to you right now. Will you help us make a difference? And this dog comes over, presents this bag. Carrie opens the bag, and there is a baby in the bag. What do you do? And all of a sudden, Carrie realizes God wants us to make an impact. Carrie takes off to the school carrying this baby. He's moved it from the bag and he's just getting to the school as quickly as he can. He shows up, his three buddies are at the school, and you got four guys with a newborn baby. Do the math, you're not going to know what to do. And one of them said, we need help. And they got help. But they did not name this baby, because they knew the chances of this baby's survival were slim and none. But they knew this, that they needed to do something at that point, that they were entering into the unknown. They were entering into an area that they had no expertise on at all. Yeah, they could start a school in the slum, but getting this baby taken care of is beyond their understanding. And so they did what they could, and they continued taking care of this baby. And over the course of the next few days, this baby kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then they decided to name the baby. And they knew once they named the baby that things were going to change, that they had to take responsibility for this child. And you already know what the name of this baby is, a baby rescued by a river. There's no other name that can be called but Moses. This is Moses. I share this story with you not to tug at your heartstrings. I share this story with you because when you decide to take those steps into the unknown, God will walk with you through it. And when Joseph took those steps into the unknown of saying, Mary, I'm hanging in there with you. It was an unknown thing that he was doing. People probably gave him a hard time, but he knew this, that even though he was stepping into the unknown, he knew that God was with him and would not let him down. And when Joseph sees, when Joseph sees that little baby boy, he looks at him and he says, there is no other name than Jesus for this little baby. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that at the name of Jesus Christ, he is Lord. We have one message here of loving God and loving people. We have one purpose here of going and making disciples, and it's to get one response, and that response is what Joseph experienced that day, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess at the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, is God calling you into the unknown and walking with you into the unknown so that you can call on the name of Jesus to give you the hope that you desperately need to keep going? Carrie and his buddies in Harama took a step into the unknown, and God has blessed them. He will not let us down. Do you need that reminder this morning? Father, we pray as we contemplate these items. We look at this story of Joseph responding obediently, and we sort of skim over it at times, yet he took those steps into the unknown. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would help us take those steps. That we would step into the unknown knowing that you go with us. And that we could then call on the name of Jesus Christ to give us hope and peace and perspective. Lord, we pray that you do that work in an amazing way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.